Please join me in the prayer for the nation
found in your bulletin. A lesson from the Gospel, Mark 3:20 through 35. Jesus entered a house, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." He called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty for an eternal sin, for they have said, 'He is an unclean spirit.'" Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. seated.
I'm going to invite any of our kiddos who want to come up and be with me for our children's moment. I'd love to have a moment with you. Awesome. Come on up, y'all. Right? Hey. How are you, Isla? Hey, Annie. Hey, Dax. How you be? Awesome. Come on. I have loved these 10 o'clock worship services, seeing just how many kids we have in the middle of the summer calling us to life. Come on up, y'all. We got more than enough time. Spending time with you is the most important thing I'm going to do today. So thank you for leading us in this. All right, y'all. We just heard a story where Jesus told us who's in his family. And it's pretty open. He says that anyone who is willing to share in his practices of love and be obedient to God is a part of his family. And so it made me wonder, what do we do with our family? What kind of things do we do with our family? Yeah.
Help our family.
We help our family. What else do you do with your family? Yeah. You be nice to our family.
Mm-hmm.
What, babe?
We be nice to our family.
We be nice to our family. That's right, Annie. What other things do you do with your family?
Wash the dishes.
You wash the dishes. Oh, you want to come be with my family? Help us wash some dishes? Yeah. We play with them. We eat with them. We go on adventures with them. We serve with them. And these are all things that we do together as the family.
And we go on a walk.
And we go on a walk. You must have been reading the Gospel of Luke, Dax, because that's what Jesus does a lot. We do all these things with our family. And one of the most important things we do with our family is we talk, we communicate, we connect with our family. And all these things, whether we're playing, we're walking, we're eating, we're doing dishes, we talk with our family. And Jesus gives us a way to talk with God and the gift of what we call prayer. And so today, I want to teach you a very simple prayer, okay? You're going to need some space with the people around you. You're going to need to also follow me and use motions, all right? Anybody in the congregation, you can do this as well. We're going to put our hands in the sky and say, love God.
Love God.
Put your arms out as wide as you can. Say, love others.
Love others.
And now give yourself a hug and say, as you love yourself. And then put your hands in the center of your chest. Take a big, deep breath. Now say, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Y'all, we're going to invite our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds to go with Pastor Maggie and Miss Ashley as they go to Children's Church. And I can't wait to learn from you all in the family of Jesus. Thanks for being here today. I'll see a bunch of y'all at VBS throughout the week, too. I'm hoping that a certain person in my family heard doing dishes is something that family does together. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, what a gift it is for your children to lead us into the heart of the gospel. Might we continue to have an openness of ears and an openness of our hearts to receive your life, and to so grow up into the way of Christ. All of this we ask in his name. Amen. I want to bring us back to how the gospel that Isabel just read began. This is how the gospel begins. Jesus entered a house. It's that simple. Jesus entered a house. That is the animating action of everything else we heard today. Of the crowds gathering again, so crowded was the house that they couldn't even make space to eat. Of Jesus' family coming and seeking to seize him. Of the religious authorities, the legal experts coming from Jerusalem to charge him with demon possession. All this man does is enter a house. And it causes a disruption that is so profound, it births a new family of belonging, a family that will surprise the world. Of course, I made it a lot more simple than it actually is. There's more to the story here If you've read the first three chapters of Mark's gospel, the crowds are gathering again because Jesus is doing miraculous healing. He's teaching with authority. Jesus' family, his mother, his brothers, they're worried about his physical well-being as people crowd him, his emotional, his mental well-being. They charge that he's out of his mind. They're worried about the reputation, the family name. And the legal experts are truly convicted and concerned that this man could be a false prophet, leading God's people astray. Jesus enters a house, and all of this energy that we hear Mark pointing to collides in this crowded space where families would come and gather. I learned this week that that word that is translated as seize or take control in verse 21, that word is only used again in Mark's gospel in the moments leading up to Jesus' death on the cross. It's the same word used in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is seized and arrested and taken to the courts, which will ultimately lead to the cross. And when you read the gospel of Matthew and Luke, when they tell this exact same story, it is a lot softer. There's no mention that Jesus' family thinks he's out of his mind. That same word for seize or restrain is not used. And in fact, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke have a much more positive view of Jesus' family. And so as I've prayed and meditated through the scripture this week, what the Spirit has continued to draw me into is the mystery of how this moment was so profoundly distinct and resonant with the lived experience of early Christians, that they felt it essential that we know the details of this moment, that we know the tension and the intensity of that tension, so that we can know the intimacy of Jesus' invitation. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't till after I had practiced ministry for a few years in Raleigh, North Carolina, till I had a moment where following Jesus was profoundly disruptive to someone's family system. I had a conversation about baptism over some bubble tea, and it was with a young man in our congregation. He had been attending for about a year. He got engaged in our campus ministry. He was like your ideal disciple, curious, hungry, humble, always living with an openness to receive the new person coming into the ministry. And so when one of my other pastor colleagues and I found that he was not baptized, we were shocked. Because here's the honest truth. He was showing us how to do church. He was showing us how to follow Jesus. And so we thought it would be a slam dunk, like an emphatic yes, when we asked him, do you want to be baptized? Well, an hour and a half later in our conversation about baptism, and for the record, the tapioca and the bubble tea was getting less than appetizing at that point. About over an hour in that conversation, my friend made it clear why he was nervous. He was nervous that if he were baptized, his relationship with his family and his siblings would be severed. Because you see, my friend was being charged to maintain the family name and to keep the family business going. And as he shared with us, this family business profited on the misfortunes of the poor. That in the name of profit, this family business perpetuated inhumane working conditions and exploited cheap labor in developing parts of the world. And the way that he succinctly named his tension has continued to convict me and haunt me with a holy haunting. He said, Pastor Will, I can't get baptized and work for the family business. And I can't work for the family business and bring our harmful practices into the household of God. I can't damage the body in our witness like that. For all the disruption and the chaos that Jesus causes simply by entering a house, he's abundantly clear in who he names and determines as family. He looks and says, whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. We don't hear anything about needed credentials or pedigrees or connections that you might have. There's nothing here about what you've done or where you've been or who you know. It's all grace. This whole invitation of Jesus is grounded in his grace. It's grounded in this divine desire. It's God choosing you and picking you and seeing in you something that maybe no one has ever seen before, including yourself. And Jesus saying, I desire you to be my friend. I trust you with my mission. I call you to follow me. And in this invitation, Jesus is breaking down all sorts of barriers, barriers of class and of gender and of ethnicity, barriers of politics, of religion, issues that so often break up and destroy our homes, right? Aaron Lane is a spiritual author and guide who has deeply impacted my ministry. And she preaches a similar passage by drawing attention to what Jesus is doing here. She says, Jesus spins a new vision of family here, one in which shared practice, not shared parentage, binds together the people of God. She goes on to preach that because of this invitation, we are called to loosen the grip on any special privileges or even deep wounds that are associated with the family we were born to or adopted by or raised with because we are now in the heritage of Christ. She ends her sermon by saying we are not imprisoned by the past. A foster mother turned adoptive mother, Erin Lane, so often leads the church to recognize how our language of church family is limited in practice a lot of times because we view this language and understand this language through traditional family structures. And she preaches that not only do we limit and create barriers for singles or childless couples or widows, or the list could go on and on. Not only do we create barriers to others experiencing this intimacy, we miss out on the power God has given us to surprise the world. In the early church, one of the greatest witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus was exactly who would gather around the communion table. People would hear about who was getting together and they would say, that person doesn't go with this person. And didn't that person make that person mad years ago and they've never talked about it? How are they in the same room? Who gathered around the table of Jesus animated questions and curiosities that led people to tell the story of Jesus? And maybe this is why our baptismal liturgy so intentionally crafts the questions that we ask parents and their response to emphasize our adoption into the family of Christ. I asked Emily, Grace, and Michael, what name shall be given to this child? And they answered Bennett Emery. They did not share their last name. They did not share their family name. And the church so wisely has guided us to see in this moment that Ben is joining the family of Jesus and he will bear the name of Christ. And in no ways does this mean that we are to cast away our family stories, our legacies, and our relationships. In fact, John Wesley is famous at one point in his career of saying that he learned more about God from his mama than all the theologians of England combined. Likewise, we remember said that the other gospels provide a much more positive view of Jesus' family. So we're not called to cast out our family stories, our legacies, and our history, but we are called to examine them through the story of Jesus and through the practices of the household of God. And we're called to transform those practices if we find that our household habits or our family business are not in line with the story of Jesus and the practices of the household of God. And we've talked a lot about this being a gift of grace, which is offered to us without price. But this is also a call to growth too. Because here's the thing, y'all, like Jesus invites people into his family that if left to my own desires and decisions, I wouldn't choose. I wouldn't choose. People who make my life difficult. People who challenge many of my deeply held assumptions. And learning and growing in God's grace and love, and so being empowered in the Holy Spirit to love people I would have never imagined loving. Yo, that's the work of a lifetime we call church. That's the work of a lifetime we define as discipleship. And it's work that you're already doing. We're celebrating this week that with Vacation Bible School, not only do we have a whole host of parents and grandparents who are serving, but we have a number of folks who have no children and have no plans to have children who are serving every night, Monday through Thursday, and living into the baptismal promises to raise our children up in the way of Jesus. We celebrate that historically on the second Sunday of the month, members from our body go to Riverbend Maximum Security Prison and break bread and share fellowship with the prisoners there, showing that the family of Jesus is able to break beyond prison walls. We've celebrated it as we've reopened Quiet Place over the last 2 months. And our church has lived into that posture on Monday and Thursdays of receiving as Christ anyone who walks through our doors, offering shelter and safety and finding ourselves blessed with the holy and surprising friendships God is forming. And what I have witnessed across my life and across my ministry is how belonging to the family of Jesus converts us into agents of healing and hope and renewal within our own family stories and our own family systems. How cycles of generational resentment can be broken by honest and courageous truth-speaking and surprising forgiveness. How we can be liberated from vocations that enslave us into bondage, to patterns of injustice that perpetuate harm. That we can be liberated from this pressure to maintain the family name and family legacy. That God can gift us with the courage to come out of the secrecy of shame and to receive our beloved identity in Christ. It's amazing how belonging to the family of Jesus has the power to convert us into agents of healing and hope within our own family stories and systems. It's a miracle I once witnessed when a young man counted the cost of leaving the family business and chose to get baptized. And it's a miracle I know and trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, stirring up. And the Holy Spirit is at work in our common life, stirring up. That together by God's grace, we can surprise the world by the bonds of our blessed belonging. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.